few weeks. Welcome, everybody. Good Nerev Shabbos. Good morning. We had some wonderful parshas that we did not have a chance to meet and discuss. The last time we met, we were discussing parshas Mitzora, but I think I gave you then a sheet with some Rambans and Achrimos, the famous Ramban at the end of Achrimos, discussing Eretz Yisrael and the significance of Eretz Yisrael. I hope you had a chance to look at that. Last week, Parshas Kedoshim, there's a very, very important Ramban, the beginning of the Parsha. I did speak to my shir about it, you may be able to hear it online. Maybe you've seen it, it's worth reading. The notion of Kedoshim Tiyu, the Ramban takes that to mean Prushim Tiyu, as the Torah's Kohanim says, and he develops the wonderful idea, beautiful idea of how the Torah wants us to be Prushim, in the sense that not everything that's allowed and permitted should a person indulge in. A person just goes by the books and complies literally with what the Torah says you have to be careful with. It's very possible that such a person could be totally denying the whole spirit of the Torah and become what the Ramban refers to as a novel b'shus haTorah. And therefore it's important that even in areas that are permitted, the Ramban goes through various areas, speech, in eating and other things, a person has to find room in order to withdraw. There's an article that just recently appeared in Tradition magazine, in the most recent periodical Tradition, by Rabbi Schreiber. He learns in Grus in Eretz Yisrael, about the Ramban. I would recommend it for everybody. I had a chance to look at it. It's very beautiful. But I don't want to focus so much on that today, because I have other things I want to focus on with Emor. But I will at least mention one thing in Emor which actually connects to the Ramban and Kedoshim. The Torah uses the expression Kedoshim here as well in the beginning of the Parsha. There are many mitzvahs that are specific to Kohanim, as the Torah lays out in the beginning of Emor. And the Pasuk says in Pasuk Vav, Kedoshim yiyu le'elohehem, ve'lo yechalu shem elohehem, and so on. So what is the meaning of the pasuk Kedoshim Yiyu Le'elokeihem? The Ramban is l'shitaso here, and the Ramban says, you can follow with me, HaKedusha Hi HaPrishus Kasher Pirashti B'Seder Shalmala. So again, the Ramban explained at length in Kedoshim that Kedusha and Kedoshim Tiyu means that you have to remove yourself from even areas that are permitted. And so when it says it over here by Kohanim, you have to interpret it in a similar way. So how would it play out over here? How would it be expressed regarding Kohanim? Yomar, Shafilu b'mutar liYisrael, yiyu haKohanim prushim. In other words, in what sense is Kedoshim Yiyu over here analogous to the Kedoshim Tiyu of Parshas Kedoshim? Here too, it's afilu b'kadesh atzmacha b'mutar lach. In what sense is it considered being harush from that which is mutter? Here it means that the things that the Torah is describing here are things that are basically permitted for others, for those who are not Kohanim. And here the Kohanim are told they should engage in the notion of Kedusha, of Prishus, meaning Yibdulu mitumas hamesim, which again for a non-Kohen is fine, the Nisue hanashim she'enon hagunas lehem betaharo v'nikiyus. And that, for example, as the Torah says, Zona bacha lo yikachu, grusha me'isha lo yikachu. So, in that respect, the Kedoshim Yiyu here is similar to the Kedoshim Tiyu in the sense that it has to do with being parish from that which is mutter. Now, I had a simple question here. I didn't see that anyone raises it, but I just think it's important to bring out the point. Bishlama, when it comes to Kedoshim Tiyu in Parshas Kedoshim, the precious the Torah is advocating is a precious the mutter, in fact, that it is mutter, technically. For the person who's engaging in the precious, it's not that the Torah forbade this person from eating kosher food, except that if you go to the nth degree and you become too involved in eating and drinking, and that's antithetical to Kedusha. So the Torah wants you to find the place in your life to curb the urge to just indulge. And therefore, as the Shulah explains, for example, in the Ramban, in Kedoshim Tiyu, it's not that the Torah can give you one rule for everybody. It's not one size fits all, but it really has to do with the individual, and every individual and every situation is unique, and therefore it's up to every person to know how to apply the principle of Kedushim to you in their own life. Now that's very true when it comes to Kedushim to you in Parshas Kedushim. The Ramban is taking the same idea and applying it to this pasuk, but here the Torah is exactly telling us the mitzvah is a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, for example. A Kohen is not allowed to mitami lemeis. So there's no way around this. The Torah forbids these particular averos. So it's not exactly the same thing as the case of Kedoshim Tiyu, where the Torah is giving you the latitude to know how to apply the rule. So what do you see here? You see that the principle is the same principle. It's just that sometimes the Torah can actually step in and say, this is what I want to achieve with this mitzvah. You see, it's not like the Ramban's Kedoshim Tiyu is totally a new idea that has to do with the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. You know, we always say that mitzvahs are meant to bring Kedusha. Kachena b'mitzvosecha, asher kidshana b'mitzvosav. It's not just that there are mitzvahs and then there's a Kedoshim Tiyu. But the whole point of Kedoshim Tiyu is really coming to accentuate the purpose of the entire corpus of Tayag Mitzvahs. When the Torah says that you may not eat that which is not kosher, so that is also an expression of Kedoshim Tiyu. In other words, the fact that you know you have to live a disciplined life, you have to not just eat what you'd want to otherwise eat. No, the Torah says this is kosher, this is not kosher. You can't just have relations, a person with your wife, just at any time. A woman has a status of a nida certain times of the month, so a person can't have family relations then. And so it is with speech. The Torah says there are certain things you can't speak about. Lashon hara is asur. So all of that is also, you could argue, a fulfillment, a kiyum of Kedoshim Tiyu as well. But the Torah wants you to realize that if you don't understand what I'm driving at, you just want to comply with the mitzvah for the sake of literally complying with the mitzvah, it's possible that you can technically be within the bounds of the letter of the law and you can become a novel bishus haTorah. And therefore, you have to understand that even with that which is mutter, kadesh atzmecha b'mutter lach, that's what the Torah is coming with Kedoshim Tiyu. Comes the Torah and says with Kohanim, I want to bring out the Kedoshim Tiyu for you in another way. And again, in this case, the Torah is making it a real mitzvah, one of the Tayag mitzvahs. A Kohen can't marry a Grusha. It's also an application of the concept of Kedoshim Tiyu, that is to say, understand why you're different than your neighbor who's not a Kohen. He can marry a Grusha, he can be Tamei Lameis. But I want you to understand that there has to be for you room to go beyond. And therefore, Kedesh Atzmecha bin mutter for the other guy. It's not a totally different idea. Just like we're showing you that for every mitzvah, for everybody, there is examples of being complying with a mitzvah that the Torah mandates and fulfilling Kedoshim Tiyu with that. And then the Torah says there's places to do it even beyond that which is strictly forbidden. So with Kohanim, it's a similar idea. The Torah wants the Kohanim to be bound by certain restrictions that Israel is not bound with, but all in order to bring out the same idea of Kedusha. So it's not like, you know, again, I want you to realize Kedoshim Tiyu in the Ramban is really a prism to understand the entire system of Torah. That's the thought that occurred to me. Therefore, it's not like a totally different, there's not two dinim of Kedoshim Tiyu. There's Kedoshim Tiyu in Yisrael, which is b'mutter lach, and here seems to be a Kedoshim Tiyu b'mutter lacherim. It's really one and the same idea, because really, even by Yisrael, the whole notion of Torah mitzvahs, whenever you're disciplining yourself and understanding why you're doing it, even if it's in compliance with the Torah, it can also be viewed as a kiyum of Kedoshim Tiyu as well. It's not just b'mutter lach. The mutter lach is just that a person shouldn't fall through the cracks and not be able to access the Kedoshim Tiyu of Torah, in where the Torah does in fact restrict and command. So the Torah says you have to plug those holes also, and therefore Kedoshim Tiyu b'mutter lach. By the Kohanim, there's a fulfillment of Kedoshim Tiyu in the form of Kedoshim Yiyu Le'Eloheihem, when the Kohanim are complying with the mitzvah of Torah. And I just want to bring one support for this idea that I'd like to say from the fact that Lumashal, the Ramban mentions the idea of Lifnim Ishuas Hadin. When he connects it to Kedoshim Tiyu, he says there's a notion of Shabbason, which we have in our parasha later on, and the notion of Vasisa Yashav Atop, which is Lifnim Ishuas Hadin. Now, again, if you look at that article in tradition, you see that he analyzes the relationship between these three examples of the Ramban: Kedoshim Tiyu, Shabbason, and Vasisa Yashav Atov. Vasisa Yashav Atov is in terms of interpersonal relationships, business transactions, and the like. Technically, something is mutter, but then again, go beyond. Lefnim Mishur Sadin. Shabbason has to do with, the Ramban understands Shabbason, and it's also Tishbos when it comes to Shabbos, even if it's not technically one of the Lamed Tes Melachos. But the person could be acting on Shabbos and Yontif in such a way that diminishes the spirit of the Kedusha of the day. So the Torah wants you to realize it's not just about not violating particular melachos, it's about relating to the spirit of the day in appropriate manner. Don't engage in business, even if there's an Erev, and technically no one is violating Amitas Melachos, but meanwhile the shop is open and the business is going on. So therefore the Torah goes with Shabbason. And the Ramban compares that Kedoshim to you. But at the end of the day, Shabbason and Tishbos is also mitzvah in the Torah. It's mitzvah saseh. And it's conceivable for a person to violate the mitzvah of Shabbason. Right? Besides the fact that he's not doing Amitas Melachos, but there's another mitzvah of Shabbason. So therefore, again, you see the Ramban is connecting that to Kedoshim to you. In the case of Lefnim Ishuas Hadin, okay, so one can wonder, is it technically a violation of a mitzvah saseh if a person doesn't engage in Lefnim Ishuas Hadin? That's partly the question of Kedoshim to you as well. If a person, is it a shaykh of a person to violate the mitzvah if he's not Polish mimutalo? But one thing is clear, there are specifically cases with Rabbanan, with mitaken, that a person has to be noheg lefnim ishuas hadin. But now it's you're bound by the din de Rabbanan, notion called bar mitzvah. That means if you're supposed to sell first to somebody a field where that person has an adjacent field, and so he'll be able to have two fields near each other rather than to sell to somebody else. He has a schus kedima. Or kofen al midas sedom. That's many examples like that. Chazal enacted laws that because it's midas sedom to act otherwise, you have to follow this particular protocol. So that's a kiyum of the sisa yashav atov. But mitzad the sisa yashav atov, maybe it's up to you. But mitzad the rabbanan, you're bound by it. So the rabbanan can step in and make a requirement out of something which otherwise would be considered to be, you could say, extra credit, something to strive for. But again, it's not a contradiction, because when you comply with a particular directive, be it a deraisa, be it a derabanan, it's not just about complying because I can check it off on the list, I complied with that mitzvah. It's part of an aspiration to be able to internalize a certain midah, a certain ashkafa, the spirit of kedusha, the spirit of lefnim ishuas hadin. So I think all this is very much relevant in the Ramban that we began here. The Torah can use the same expression, Kedoshim Yiyu Lelokeyem, and reflect the same idea of Kedoshim Tiyu, even though in the case of Kedoshim Tiyu, it's the Torah telling you, choose an area that's mutter and go ahead and show precious. I'm not telling you where to do it, how to do it, how much to do it. And here the Torah is speaking about something which it itself is forbidding for the Kohanim. It's mutter for the Yisrael, but the Torah is saying what I want you to do is achieve Kedusha through what you're doing. True, you're doing it as a mitzvah now because you're bound by it, but it's no different than, let's say, Shabbason in the Ramban or a Kofen Amidah Sedom in the Rabbanan, where the point is, it's not just I technically fulfilled, I didn't transgress that Doraisa, that the Rabbanan, but I'm doing it for Kedusha's sake. And so it is with every mitzvah in the Torah, in effect. And I'm not keeping kosher. It's not just that that's the way I live. I just got used to it. It's really because I understand what the message Torah is trying to impart here. I live a life of discipline. I don't just eat what I want to eat. Were it not for the Torah, I would say I would enjoy lard. I enjoy pig. I enjoy bsar chazir. I would wear shatnez. Why not? The world can do it. I can do it too. But no, I understand. I want kedusha. And I want to understand. The Torah is trying to train me and curb my appetite, curb my temptations. And that's goof of why I'm fulfilling what the Torah tells me. So really, the whole world of Torah is a reflection of Kedoshim Tiyu. Again, this is the proof, is right here in this Ramban, when it comes to Kohanim. So that's the Machshav I wanted to share with you in terms of, again, the Ramban here and back to the Ramban and Kedoshim. Again, if you haven't read the Ramban and Kedoshim, it's something you should look at. We didn't read it inside, but it's important to read it, and again, to really take it in. Okay, I want to turn to another Ramban, a very beautiful Ramban. As we saw last time we spoke in Parshas Metsora, the Ramban is very sensitive to the language of the Psukim when a mitzvah is introduced. Who is the Torah addressing in the mitzvah, and how does the Torah frame the communication of that mitzvah? We don't always notice these things. We're focused sometimes on the big picture, the mitzvah itself, but again, there's so many lessons we can glean from the way the Torah frames the mitzvah. So I want to look with you at the Ramban right after Sheni. The pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el Aharon lemor, ish bizarach ledor son sheyeh b'mum." This is a parasha of mumin. Mumin that disqualify a kohen from doing avodah. About mumin. How does the Torah introduce the mitzvah? Moshe is told, "Daber el Aaron lemor." Ish mizaracha l'dorosan. What's unusual about that? Why does it have to say, speak to Aaron and say, somebody from your children, from your progeny who have a mum is disqualified? Let it say, daber el Aaron ve'elbana. Daber el Aaron ish mizaracha l'dorosan. If you look, for example, at the very next section of the Chumash in Perek Chav Beis, daber el Aaron ve'elbana. The Inazu Mikashi of Israel. Or, if you go back, for example, to Parshas in the early part of Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Tzav, for example, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Zayin Yud Ches, this is the laws of Karban Chatas. Daber al Aaron ve'al Banav ve'mor zos Torah Sachatas. Clear. Daber al Aaron ve'al Banav. So why over here is it Daber el Aharon ish mizarach? Everyone hear the question, right? Let's see what the Ramban says. Lo amar bekan Daber el Aharon kashe yomar beparshis kulon v'hatam kisham tziva beparshis harkarbanos zos toras ha'ola zos toras ha'chatas v'asham. We go back to Parshas Tzav, so all the various sections about the Karbanos are introduced initially by Daber Aaron ve'elbanav, Zos Toras Achatas, and then comes afterwards Zos Toras Asham, and so on. So it's just about the law. It's not about them. They have to hear the mitzvah about Chatas. They have to hear the mitzvah of the Asham, the laws of the Asham. So you can say, Daber Aaron ve'elbanav, and what shall you tell them? You shall tell them these laws having to do with that carbon and the other carbon. However, here we're talking about a law which has specifically to do with what should happen or what could happen to these Kohanim themselves, to their body. If they have a mum, if they're born with a mum, if they get a mum. So how would it have to say, it would have to talk about, should you have a mum? You know, who I'm talking to. Not just the chatas, the usher. So what would it have to say? If it would start Daber el Aharon ve'elbanav, then what should follow from that? Roi sheyomar ish mikem ledoro seichem. If one of you who I'm speaking to. Now, that would mean, if the Torah would say, speak to Aharon ve'elbanav, if the words of the Torah would read, Moshe, speak to Aharon ve'elbanav, it would say, ish mikem. Mikem means mikem going on Aharon ubanav. So listen to the sensitivity of the Torah. V'lo yirtze lehazir es Aaron atzmo b'toras hamumim. The Torah does not want to explicitly give the impression that Aaron is being instructed and warned about the possibility of his getting a mum. But that's what it would mean. Daba Aaron ve'elbanav ish mikem. If among you, meaning you, Aaron or Banav. Aaron should not, the Torah is protective of Aaron's covet. The Torah doesn't want to convey the sense that there's a possibility, in an explicit way, the Torah shouldn't convey the sense that there's a possibility of Aaron getting a mumki. Aaron, kedosh Hashem, kulo, yafa, umum lo yebo. Okay, it's an idiom based on various psukim. Kuach yafa rayasi, right? The pasuk we had in Shir HaShirim. Umum ein bach. Aaron Kedosh Hashem is also a pasuk in Tehillim. Aaron Kedosh Hashem, the Ramban uses this expression a few times in his Perush. Aaron Kedosh Hashem. Ves HaKadosh V'Hikri Ve'Lov, it says in Pashas Korach. It's probably based on that too. Aaron Kedosh Hashem. Kulo Yafa Umum Lo Yebo. Mum is somehow in some way a manifestation of some, perhaps some inner blemish as well. Again, we're not that we're saying that this per se the person is less, this person has kedushas kahuna even with the mum. They can partake in the karbanos and eating the karbanos, but they can't serve in Beis HaMikdash. But somehow there's a reflection there of some imperfection. By Aaron cannot be. And therefore, the Azhara has to be communicated in a sensitive way, that not that it will be with Aaron, but it could be with his children. Avo yazirenu. So Aaron has to hear about the mitzvah that he should know, that he should teach his children about the halachos of a Baal Mum, a Kohen Baal Mum, but not that Aaron could ever have that relevant to him. Avo yazirenu al zaro sheyorein. The yazir usamudorosa. So therefore, the way the Torah writes it, Daber Aaron, he has to know about the mitzvah. What does he have to know? The Ish Mizarach Odom. When one of your children will get a mum, this is what will be the halacha. This mum, that mum, the pasuk. That's in terms of this section. What happens in the next section? The Daber Aaron ve'el bana v'inazu mikatshei v'nei Yisrael. What is that referring to? That's talking about if they will become tamei, they can't touch karbanos, they can't enter migdash, tumas migdash v'kadasha. So there it sounds like everyone is spoken to Aaron Ubanav. Even Aaron, so the Ramban explains, because that's not really a problem to suggest that Aaron is going to become tamei by touching a sheretz, by touching a dead body. That's not in any way a chesaron in Aaron. Ubeparshas hatuma besamuch, daber Aaron ve'el banav v'inazu mikatshei v'nei Yisrael. Why can it say that? Ki yitachen shigam ba'aron eira tuma samaga b'meis of the sheretz. So that's how the parasha is introduced later. But now wait a second. Go back. Go further in the arrow to the next pasuk. And more aleihem l'dolaseichem and so on. Ish ish mizera Aharon v'ut sarah uzav. Now it mentions specifically the tumah of tsaras and the tumah of ziva. So what does it say? It goes back to mizera Aharon. So why is the Torah playing this game of switching, starting off by saying Aharon ve'elbanav yinazru, and then specifically by tsaras and ziva mizera Aharon? Why is the Torah switching its tune? So here, the Ramban again goes back to the point that he says by us, by Mum. He says, "Kasher bala hasket saras v'azov chaza v'omar ish ish mizera." Torah is using, you can see the linguistic gymnastics here. The Torah is using. I'm sure there are drushas as well. We'll see soon. The Ramban mentions a drusha, but lemaisa, the Torah is going out of its way, bending over backwards in the construction of the mitzvahs that Aaron's kavod gets protected. Ish ish mizera Aharon, when it comes to tsarua ozav, ki lo yera zeh begufo, ki malach Hashem tzvakosu. Here's again the melitza from the pasuk in Malachi, ki sifse kon yish mudas, toivak shumipiu, ki malach Hashem tzvakosu. It cannot be that Aaron HaKohen should become a mitzora or a zav. It will not happen. It's above him. It's beneath him, so to speak, that he should become. It just won't happen. He has a divine protection. it just won't, such a reality will not occur for Aaron. And therefore the Torah says, Ish Ish Mizera Aaron. It won't be for Aaron. So again, the mum, the Torah says it won't happen for Aaron to get a mum, so therefore it doesn't say Ish Mikem Vedorosa. And rather it says Ish Mizaracha. Aaron should know about the mitzvah to teach his children. Tumah could happen to Aaron, but Saras or Ziva cannot happen to Aaron. Wait. The Amar Besofa Parsha, Pasuk Chav Dalet, at the end of the Parsha of the Mumin, by Davin Moshe El Aaron Ve'El Banav. So originally it says Daber El Aaron Leimor. And now it says Moshe spoke to who? Aaron Ve'El Banav. Originally, the intention was Moshe speak to Aaron, he will tell his children. But then it says Moshe spoke to Banav as well. Sheratza Moshe lahazi gamis Banav sheikhu mipiv Torah. So that's how Banav get in here. Moshe wanted to have a chance to be Melamed Torah to the children of Aaron, so he gave the mitzvah directly to them as well. But it says also the El Kol Bnei Yisrael, how do they have to do with this mitzvah? It was Daber Aaron. So Moshe wants to teach Aaron's children to say that. What about Bnei Yisrael? That they have to know about this as well, about the halacha mumin, the parsha mumin. We'll see later, the Ramban comes back to this, to get to it, that not every Kohen who has a mumin is going to want to come forward and let everybody know about it. So Beis Din has to be on the guard and on the alert to know that there's going to be the possibility of a Kohen with a mumin. They have to know what to do with such a Kohen that he doesn't serve. Okay, so this is one piece in the Ramban. Now there's another piece. The Ramban brings a chazal, a Russian Torah Kohanim, that actually is marbe, since the pasuk says Mizera Aaron. So how do you know the halacha, should Aaron get a mum, that he'll be disqualified? The Torah doesn't seem to discuss the case of Aaron getting a mum. Now, the Ramban just got finished saying, well, it's not going to happen. So how do you, so look at the Ramban, says, very interesting, yisod. B'toras Kohanim Matzasi Kol Ish. It says in the Pasuk Kol Ish Ki Kol Ish Asher Bo Mum Lo Yikra. That's in Pasuk Yud Ches. Ma Talmud Lomar, what does it have to say? Ki Kol Ish Asher Bo Mum Lefishen and Mazera Aaron. It says Ish Ish Mizera Aaron. It says Or Ish Mizera Chol Edorosam. That's in the case of Tzarua Zav. So both when it comes to Mumin, when it comes to Tzaras and Ziva, we have special Ribuyim from an extra word in the Pasuk that the Halacha would hold for Aaron as well. Now, so how does that square with what Ramban just got finished saying? That the Torah Dafka didn't talk about Aaron because the Torah knows Aaron is a Kedosh Hashem, Mumo Yebo, and Aaron is a Malch Hashem Tzvakos, he won't become a Mitzora or a Zav. And here you have the Torah's Kohanim being Marbe Aaron. So the Ramban has first the following answer. Doesn't mean Aaron himself. In a Chanami, Aaron is not included because it's not Negea for Aaron. What's the pshat in the Torah's Kohanim? Pirish Aaron Atzmo doesn't mean Aaron, the individual, the Gavra, Aaron himself, Aaron a Kohen. Aaron Atzmo is a way of saying a Kohen Gadol. HaKohen HaGadol Tachta Mibanav, the Aaron's symbol of Aaron, the Kohen Gadol. Now, the question is, well, why would a Kohen Gadol be different than Kohen Hedjet? If the Kohen Hedjet is Pasol, if he's a Balmum, or if he's Tamei as a Mitzora, or is up, so why would a Kohen Gadol, for example, not have the same halacha? Why would you think that a Kohen Gadol would be kasher avoda as a mitzvah or a zav or a balmum any more than a Kohen Hedjet? What do you need a ribui? But explain. Kibab v'shehiter ha'aninus a Kohen Gadol u'ayatigo ha'mum v'atzaras v'utzach v'rabosa. We know that there's another halacha earlier in the parasha of aninus, a Kohen Gadol is makrivonan, a Kohen Hedjet is not. And therefore, you might think that just as you find that he's mutter to serve Banina, so maybe I'll make a limud from that, that also the Isser of Balmum would be waived, and so too for Tumas Saras and Ziva. So therefore, there's a special riboy for Aaron, not Aaron. It means Aaron means Kohen Gadol. One pshat. Oh, another pshat. Shetirmos din Aaron atzmo. In other words, oh, kipshuta. What does the Torah's Kohanim mean with being marba Aaron himself? I just told you the Torah Dafka didn't write Aaron initially because it won't happen. The answer is kilotismoch haTorah be'as haroseha al hanes. We always know the rule called ein somchen al hanes when it comes to that notion of a person doing hishtadlus. You can't just live your life and assume everything is going to work out, even if it's not necessarily in the normal course of what should be. You have to live your life with the cheshbon that maybe this could happen, that could happen. That's ein somchen al hanes. Also, the Ramban uses this principle many times in terms of the stories of the Torah. Noach builds a teva. Two was a nace that everything fit in, but and at the end of the day was a nace. But still, Hashem said, make the teva very large, so that the nace is not as apparent. In Simchan al hanes, go make a big teva, so you can get a sense as if you know it's going to contain everything. It's still, if you do the math, it still shouldn't fit. But in Simchan al hanes, the Torah says, go do a count from age 20 and up, Parshas Bamidbar, and because you're going to have an army fighting against their eye, Hashem says, I'm going to deliver them in your hands, it's going to be your nace anyway. The Torah says, Somchen al hanes. That means in terms of actions in the world. But now the Ramban has another application of this idea. HaTorah lo tismoch be'as haroseha al hanes. In other words, there's a system of mitzvahs, of laws, that the Torah contains. Now, the reality is that Aaron HaKohen is not negea, this mitzvah, because he's never going to become a balmum, mum lo yebo, kul yofa, rayasi, umum meibach. He's not going to become tamei as a mitzora or a zav. So it's true, the halacha is not negea Aaron. But the Torah speaks not just on the level of an ace. It's true, mitzias as it can be, but that's only because of the fact that Aaron has a special divine protection. That's like a gather of a nace. But in terms of a derech ha-teva, it could be that Aaron could become a baal mum. He has bechira. He could do something that would cause him to have a mum. Could happen, and he becomes a mitzvah. Something could happen. He could do an avera of speaking lashon hara. He could. He won't. But he could. And he could get saras. It could happen. The Torah doesn't want to lay out its halachos on the foundation of what is in fact true, but it's a level of nes. And therefore, even in terms of the Asharas HaTorah, l'tismoch ba'asharasar ala nes, there has to be some mokor in Chumash that will identify the lav on the books for Aaron too, for Tumah, for Ziva, Saras, for Balmu. That's what the Ramban is saying, important yisod. On the other hand, so then the Torah should just, might as well just go back and say, Daber Aaron Ve'el Banav. Why do you have to go like this and say, okay, Daber Aaron Ish Mizarach, not to speak as if, to say to Aaron, you know, the halach is for you, Ish Mikeh. No, because it won't happen. On the other hand, there has to be some Makor and Chumash that the Lav does apply to Aaron. What's this balancing act? Ban continues. Tirmos din Aaron Atzmo, not explicit. Kigo tismo chator ba'azarosel anes, avol kisusa al Aaron lechvodo. The Torah at the same time wants to be protective on Aaron for his covenant, since it's fact true that it won't happen for him. He's a kedosh Hashem. Velirmos lanu shelo yeraloke. So here you have the combination. Mitzad echad, the Torah goes out of its way to change its signon, to change its language, to convey the sense that Aaron doesn't need an ashar. Dabel Aaron ish mizarach. Aaron just needs to know to teach his children of that. He doesn't need to know because the Torah is very sympathetic to Aaron, and the Torah recognizes the status, the off the status of Aaron, and the Torah is meramis to us. Don't have the slightest havamina that Aaron HaKohen is going to become a balmum, or become a mitzora or a zav. So the Torah clearly speaks mizera Aaron, not Aaron himself. On the other hand, the Torah is not somech al hanes even on the level of the asharos. The Torah's asharos have to speak on the plane of what could be v'derech hateva. V'derech hateva, Aaron has bechira, And therefore, there has to be some riboy according to Torah's Kohanim for Aaron himself. So this is a fascinating Ramban, Rav Simcha Zissel Broidness of Derech. There's a lot to say about this Ramban. It's in terms of the incredible yesodos that lie in this Ramban. First of all, the yesod of kavod of Aaron, how the Torah is so sensitive to Aaron, and the beautiful, the message is just in that alone. And there are a lot of other indications from other Chazal and other Rambans as well that the Torah is very much wants to impress on us the special status and the Kedusha of Aaron. I'll give you one example, the Ramban in Bahaloscha, that the Aaron HaKohen felt very bad after the Chanukah Sanasim, Parshas Naso, that his Shevet was not represented. So Hashem was Menachem Aaron, and said right away after that, Bahaloscha Saneros. So the Ramban explains that means that the Chanukah space Chashmonai is going to be a whole new Chanukah in the future through your descendants. All this is to appease Aaron. Why does Aaron need to be appeased? Because Aaron is such a person that his feelings matter so much. If Aaron feels bad, Hashem has to throw him the Tanchumen right away. Look what you're going to have. Again, because of the special status of Aaron HaKohen. That is one point. And then you see, at the same time, that there is a griboy in Teres Kohanim for Aaron. So one pshat in the Ramban is it's referring to Kohen Gadol, and a special halacha. You might think Kohen Gadol wouldn't have these halachas, just like Aninos is mutter. And the other pshat in the Ramban is that there's a balancing act. The Torah does not want to be somech halaneis in the Asharas either. The Torah has to have the mitzvahs of the mitzvahs of the Torah have to conform with Derech HaTeva, not just the hishtadlus that we do, not just the hishtadlus that the Torah tells us to do, or tells Noach to do, or Moshe Rabbeinu to do, in terms of acting in the world, but even the system itself of Torah, the mitzvahs of Torah have to conform to the mitzvahs that it has to fit Derech HaTeva too. So on the one hand, it can't be for Aaron, it will never be, so why bother mentioning it? The answer is not just about the Torah's laws having relevance in the real world. No, the Torah's words are mitzius. The mitzius have to conform with the rule of Ein Samchin Al Anes. The Torah has to put out the mitzvah because, in theory, Aaron could happen for Aaron. He has bechira. Having the mitzvah itself in the Chumash, that's a reality in its own right. And that's why the mitzvah has to exist. You have to find a remez to it in terms of drashas and chumash. Okay, everyone hear the basic ideas of this Ramban? Very nice. Okay, let me do this. We have a lot still to do. The next Ramban, I'll just maybe do it a little bit more outside rather than reading every single word. The Parshas HaMoadim appear in Parshas Emor. The cycle, we read this on a Yom Tov, as we know. Why is it in Torah's Kohanim? That's the first question. Second question, it's not mentioned as a tzibur to the Kohanim. It says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael. So the answer, the Ramban says, is l'maisa, the Torah has it in Torah's Kohanim because there's a shaychus in the sense that all of these days that Torah goes through in the calendar are days to bring korbanos on. And the Torah alludes to that by mentioning a few times in these various sections, the Ikraftim Isha Lashem. The fact that the Torah mentions that there's going to be a korban brought is exactly why it's found in Torah's Kohanim. These are days, yomim of korbanos. Which korbanos? The korbanos are found not in this Sefer, they're found in Sefer Bamidbar. A few of the days the Torah mentions the Karbanos. It mentions by Omer, the Karbanos brought the day of the Akravas HaOmer, also in Shtei HaLechem. But for the rest of the days, the Torah just alludes to the fact that there's going to be Karbanos brought. So therefore, because they make Karbanos, this section is in Sefer Vayikra. On the other hand, because we're not teaching now about the Karbanos, so the Torah is focusing more on the days as far as the status of the days of the Asa B'Malacha and so on. So that is relevant for everybody equally, not just for Kohanim. So that's why it says, Dabrel B'nei Yisrael, because it's what the Torah is out to tell me right now is halachos of these days that are just as much relevant for Yisrael. On the other hand, the context of putting it in Torah's Kohanim is because these are days have karbonos contained in them. So now the question will be, why not mention the karbonos? I mean, you already have it in Vayikra because you make karbonos, so why not put the musaf in over here? Why wait for Sefer Bamidbar Parshas Pinchas? So Ramban has a very interesting sheet, and he has it here. He says it in Pinchas as well. Now I'm on the left side, about 8-10 lines down. Avlo herach leva'er hamusafin shelo ratza sheyinagu lehem bamidbar. Hashem did not want the musafin to apply in the midbar. They did not. They applied only in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, in Sefer Bamidbar, which is referring in Parshas Pinchas to the door that's about to enter the land, so then they're told that you're going to enter the land, and after discussing the division of the land, it mentions the various karbanos of the musafin, which they shall apply and perform in Eretz Yisrael miyad l'doros, as soon as they get in and for all future generations. This is the Shita Saramban. Okay, you look at Parshas Pinchas, he says the same thing. The Musafin were not knowing in the Midbar. What's the exception? What Karbanos were knowing in the Midbar? The Alkin Omer B'Yom HaKippurim B'Yaz Kashatziva Hashem Es Moshe Sh'asakim B'Midbar. Parshas Achrimos, you have the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim, all in detail. And it says at the end there, V'Yaz Kashatziva Hashem Es Moshe. So what does the Torah have to say that your Aaron did so? The answer is that every year in the Midbar, Aaron performed the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So that's the Chiddush, that this was knowing in the Midbar. The Musafin, on the various days of the Moadim, were not knowing by Midbar. However, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim was knowing. No, so first of all, let me ask you this. First of all, now, L'maisa on Yom Kippur, there was also the Musafin of Yom Kippur. The Torah has Musafin of Yom Kippur too, as you have in Parshas Pinchas. So was that knowing in the Midbar? So, Chayra, if it was, then the Torah should have mentioned by Yom Kippur and Parshas Emor the Musafin of Yom Kippur, at least that. So it's mashma that, no, the Musafin were not knowing in the Midbar, even on Yom Kippur, the Musafin of Yom Kippur were not knowing. What was knowing in the Midbar? The Avodas Hayom described in Achrimos, those Karbanos. But it's interesting, because there is a Machlokes, there's a Tana, I believe it's Rebbe, holds that the Ayel in Parshas Pinchas, it was Ayel Echa, that's the Ayel also in the El Ha'am in Parshas Achrimos. So there's something of an overlap. So here you have an Ayel of the Musafin, so what about that? It comes out one Karban was knowing. I don't know. A Kopan, and that's the Shita of the Ramban. The Ramban just continues and says, so what about the Keves HaOmer and the Kibsei Atzeres, which aren't mentioned here? So he says, that we know, the Torah mentions it, but we know that they were not knowing in the Midbar, because they come because of the Lechem, the Shtei Lechem, and the Omer, and that is dependent on Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's a big problem in this Ramban, this Shita of the Ramban, that the Musafim were not knowing in Eretz Yisrael. In the Midbar, rather. The Panim Yafos asks the Kasha, who was the Panim Yafos? You don't know who the Panim Yafos was? Anybody? Panim Yafos on Chumash. So I'm glad I'm asking. Pinchas Halevi Horovitz from Frankfurt. Who is he? One of the Rebbe's of the Chassam Sefer. The Hafla. We know him as the Hafla, right? On Sefer Ksuvis, on Masechet Ksuvis. What else did he write on Kiddushin? The Sefer HaMakne, we call it. Sefer Makna and Kiddushin. The Chassam Sefer had two rabbis. There was Nassan Adler. We supposedly descend from him. He was a Kayin, Chassid Shebe Kuhuna. The Chassam Sefer revered him. He was one rabbi, the Kohen. And the other rabbi was a Levi, and that was the Hafla. So the Kayin Shebe Kohenim, rabbi of the Chassam Sefer, he wrote, and he said, the Hafla, Makna, and Panim Yafos and Chumash. He asks the Kasha and the Ramban from the Mishnah, Menachos, and Memheim and Beis, which is Kemat Mefurish over there, that what was mentioned in Parashas Pinchas, in Chumash HaPikudim, with Noeg in the Midbar. Very difficult. And then there's another kasha that's asked on the Ramban, that in the Shmini Miluyim, one of the karbanos that was brought, Rashi brings in the Chumash, there were three Se'irim that were kariv on that day, and that Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The three Se'irim were, one was the Soyer Nachshon. Nachshon was the first of the 12 of the Nesim to bring karbanos, and each one had Sir Izim Echad Uchatas. And then you had another Soyer, which was specific to the day, that was mentioned at the beginning of Shemini. And then it was the Soyer Rosh Chodesh, because after all, that was also Rosh Chodesh. Now, Soyer Rosh Chodesh is one of the Musafir. So you see that was in fact the carbon the Chazal say was burnt. That Moshe was upset that they didn't eat it because whatever, they didn't. They ended up burning it. You see, there was a Musaf brought in the Midbar. So there's a lot of Torah said on this. I just want to share with you a very interesting Maram Makom. This came out about 5 years ago. I was editing the Or HaMizrach over a couple of years. So there were 7 issues altogether that I was involved in. This is the last issue, and there hasn't been another edition since then. No one wanted to take over or whatever. We thought it would have a Hemshech, but so far they're waiting for somebody to step in. This appeared in Tavshin Samach Vav, 2006, and it's actually a thick issue because it has a Mafteach going back quite a number of years, and it also has abstracts of the articles in English, and it also has a series of articles taken from this issue and others in English. That was what they wanted, an English compendium. So it so happens that the first article, both in the Hebrew section and the English section, it was written by someone you may know, B'yuch Tamach Chacham, Rabbi Shlomo Warman. Actually, it's the first article in the Hebrew section and the second article in the English section, English compendium. And the article is entitled Hakravas Musafin Bamidbar. In English, the offering of Musaf sacrifices in the wilderness. Anyway, it is a whole story here as far as how Rav Warman introduces this topic with a very interesting historical episode, which again I will leave for you to look at on your own and enjoy. Basically, he gets to the point in this Ramban, and he brings a couple of possibilities. How did Miyashiv this Ramban, who says that there was there were no Musafin in the Midbar? He wants to say the following chidush. He brings a couple of other pshatim too, but he wants to say the following chidush. Karban Musaf, there's a machokis in Brachis, from Blessed Messiah and the Chachamim, if Tfilas Musaf was instituted for a yachid, only for a tzibur. So he wants to say the following yesod. If you assume that Karban Musaf, Tfilas Musaf, was only instituted with tzibur, so he wants to say that the Eretz Yisrael is the koach that's ma'ached Kal Yisrael. Many rise to this yesod that Kal Yisrael only have a shame tzibur in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Arvus, whatever degree Arvus, and Machokas Tanoim, whether any Arvus was knowing before or not, Nestoros, Niglos, but apparently some measure of Arvus, Koyso Rings of Isaiah, only took effect, Mishavus Hayarden. And he brings the chorus on this idea from the Abinezer and others that Eretz Yisrael creates a sense of Sibur. So basically, he wants to say that the question of whether Musafin, when Noeg ben Midbar, will be telling that machlokes in the Mishnah and Brachis, to the extent that Musaf needs the concept of Tzibur, so therefore you would not have the Musafin being Noeg in the Midbar, because he didn't get to the level of pure Achdus, full level of Achdus, Tzibur to Eretz Yisrael. That's one of the main ideas in this article. You're free to look it up, and if anyone needs a copy, I can have it provided for you. I just thought it'd be very nice to mention it in terms of this Indian. Let's come back here to the Ramban for a couple of other points. The next issue the Ramban deals with is the positioning of Shabbos in the cycle of Mo'adim. On the one hand, it starts by introducing Mo'adi Hashem. Then you have the Torah mentioning Shabbos. And then again, Ela Mo'adi Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh. And then starting with Pesach and going through the cycle. So the question is, why is Shabbos here? The Ramban says one pshat, but then he prefers a different pshat. The first pshat the Ramban suggests is that indeed Shabbos is another example of Mo'adi Hashem. When it says Mo'adi Hashem, it meant Shabbos as well. And it's the first in the list. But then it says, but there's other Mo'adim, asher tikru osam b'mo'adam. And that means that it could be any day of the week. But Shabbos is always going to be the same day of the week. And another drasha b'mo'adam, that whatever you say goes, Beis Din has the authority to declare and determine the cycle. That is the first pshat the Ramban says. But then the Ramban falls away from that. V'anochem be'enai, this is about two-thirds of the way down here. That no, Mo'adi Hashem is referring to beginning with Pesach and on. That's the Mo'adi Hashem. Shabbos is not included in Mo'adi Hashem. But the Torah mentions Shabbos sort of as a digression. By the way, I want you to know that Shabbos is a day that doesn't have the heter melacha that the other days have. The other days have an Isan melacha called Meleches Avoda, which for the Ramban means melacha that's not Ochel Nefesh, but it's permitted Ochel Nefesh Melacha is Mutter. And Shabbos, the Torah just wants you to realize that has no heter melacha at all. And not only that, the Ramban adds the point that, and to the extent that if Yontif coincides with Shabbos, so don't say that since it's always a heter Ochel Nefesh on Yontif if it falls during the week. So you would say maybe when Yontif coincides with Shabbos, you're allowed to be Doche Shabbos and do Meleches Ochel Nefesh for the sake of Simchas Yontif. So the Torah introduces Shabbos right away to tell me that even if all these Mo'adim would coincide with Shabbos, but Shabbos retains its character and imposes the Isser of Meleches Ochel Nefesh even if Yontif and Shabbos coincide. That's why the Torah mentioned Shabbos initially, not because it's part of the cycle of Mo'adi Hashem. But since the Torah mentions Shabbos for this halacha, so the Torah reiterates what it started with, and that's what Pasuk Dalet doesn't introduce a new Vayidaber Hashem and Moshe Lemor like the other sections do, many of them, but it's Ela Mo'adi Hashem because we really haven't started talking about Mo'adi Hashem yet. And you'll see inside what I'm speaking out. So it starts by saying Mo'adi Hashem and so on. But it's really thinking about Pesach and on. But mentions immediately, but I want you to realize Shabbos is Aser Ochel Nefesh, and even if Yontif and Shabbos coincide, you can't do Ochel Nefesh. Ela Mo'adi Hashem, and now we go back to where we're holding. This is, again, we haven't really said it yet, and this is really highlighting again how he began. Now, the Ramban has a raya that this pshat is correct, that Shabbos is not part of Mo'adi Hashem. How does he see it? For the following, the next page, top. The raya l'pirush hazeh. So here's the first raya. Shelo hiskir b'Shabbos v'yipraptam isha l'Hashem kasher yaskir b'chol mo'ed mo'ed. Each of the Mo'adim that are part of the cycle, it mentions these are days that you're going to offer a karban. When it comes to Shabbos, which also has a musaf, if this is already the first of the series of Mo'adi Hashem, it should mention, and you have a karban to be brought here as well. Okay, it's not Noah in the Midbar, but it should mention that there's going to be a karban musaf that at some time in history you're going to be bringing on this day. Why not mention it? If it's here for the same reason that the other Mo'adim are here, the Torah should make sure to mention the fact that there's going to be a carbon board. The fact that it's not mentioned regarding Shabbos means that Shabbos is not here for the same reason that the other Mo'adim are here. That's raya number one. A second raya is at the end of the section, Pasuk Lamed Ches, when the Torah is sort of coming to the closure here and summing it all up. It says, Eile Mo'adi Hashem, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, these are the Mo'adim Hashituos HaMikvei Kodesh, to bring Karbanos on, and all of this is separate, milvad shabsos Hashem, umilvad matnoseichem, umilvad konidreichem, umilvad konidreichem. The karbanos of these various days is separate from what? From the shabbosos, and from the private karbanos darman davos. So the Torah is specifically using Shabbos as separate from everything that's been mentioned. There's the Mo'adi Hashem, milvad shabsos Hashem. So what better proof do you have than that? That the mention of Shabbos from the beginning was not as part of the Seder of the Mo'adi Hashem, but rather for some other reason the Torah mentions it, for the reasons that Ramban enumerated, but separate from the Mo'adim, there's also Shabbos the Torah goes back to afterwards and makes mention of, that there's Karbanos on that day as well. And then the third raya is that it doesn't say Vada B'Shem Moshe Lemor after Shabbos, when it starts to cycle more, then it should spread away, say Vada B'Shem, just like throughout the parasha, whenever you get to another Moed, the Torah starts Vada B'Shem Moshe Lemor. So if Shabbos is already the first of the list, it should say now, a new Vada B'Shem in Pasuk Dalet. It doesn't, so it means because we just simply mentioned Shabbos, but we haven't really started discussing the Moedim yet, and therefore there's no need to say Vada B'Shem again. Lechori, there's a raya to this. The Ramban doesn't mention this, but the Gemara in Erechin on Daf Yudam and Beis discussing the days that we say Hallel. So the Gemara asks, so why not? There's Yudches Yomim, as we know, Chaf Aleph Yom in Chutz Laaretz, that would go Meres Hallel. So the Gemara, the famous Gemara, Daf Yudam and Aleph to Yudam and Beis, the Yomim of Hallel. So the Gemara says, why this day and why not this day? Why don't we say whole Hallel the rest of Pesach? The Gemara gives its reason. That by Pesach, Kol Yom the Chag Chalukim Karbanos and Sukkot, every day is its separate number of Karbanos because they change from one day to the other, the parim go down. Pesach not. In fact, the Gemara Shabbos, the Chalukah be Karbanos Seha Lema. So Shabbos, which is specific Karbanos and Shabbos, Shnei Chivasim. So say Hallel on Shabbos. And for the Gemara, Lo Ikri Moed. Mefurash Gemara, Yudam and Beis and Erechin, Lo Ikri Moed. Shabbos not called Moed. So Chayre, that's a mamash raya to what Ramban is saying, that Shabbos is not included in the Moed de Hashem, it's not called a Moed. You have to know why the Ramban didn't mention this Gemara as well. Okay, I want to mention, again, we don't have much time, we'll finish out of time, that the Ramban on Mikra Kodesh is very important. That's the next part of the Ramban. How do you define Mikra Kodesh? The Ramban says Mikra Kodesh means gathering, to be invited to something. The assembly, coming together on Yontif, in together as a tzibur, to daven, to say Hallel, the Ramban says that's a kiyum, to designate the day and show its Kedusha, that is a kiyum of Mikra Kodesh. I think this is very important, Yisod, for many reasons. We don't have time to elaborate too much, but what's pointed out, first of all, is the Ramban in Parshas Bo at the end makes mention, passing reference to the idea of Pirsume Nisa, coming together in Shul Befer Hesya, that this itself is a kiyum of the whole purpose of the creation, is to be able to come together and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a beautiful Ramban there, you can look at it. So the Ramban here is connecting that to Mikra Kodesh too, coming together and publicly singing praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and showing Shevach to the day, that's a Kiyum of Mikra Kodesh. That's one point. Another point I think is it very much dovetails with the sort of Shabbason that we mentioned at the beginning of this year, that I don't have on your sheets, but the Ramban and Shabbason is that the day has to have a certain character to it. It's not enough to abstain from malacha, but you have to preserve the character of the day. You look at the beautiful words of the Ramban. You can't make the day such that you can be doing commerce and having business transactions, and the whole character of the day is lost. There's no sense of kedusha. So that's, in a sense, the Torah plugging the hole, that you should not let the day fall into, basically like a Yom Chol. That's in terms of the Sur Meira. Don't technically be within the bounds of the Torah and yet let this happen. That's the Sur Meira of it. What I would like to suggest is the Mikra Kodesh of the Ramban is the Aseh Tov. It's not enough that you abstain from commerce and not let the day fall into the that it should look like a Yom Chol, but there's also a Halacha Dafka to do all you could to contribute to the measure of Kedusha of the day. Not just that you don't do Malacha, but the coming together as a tzibur to meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to meshabeach the day and acknowledge the day, all of this is what contributes to the measure of Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Milashan Asifa, that's the Yisod of Mikra Kodesh. The Ramban adds that Unkus takes it, first of all, as Mikra means happening, because things happened on this day. So days that have specific commemorations associated with the history of the day, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Sukkos Hoshavti. And then again, connecting to Unkos, he says that you should also conduct yourself in such a way, similar to what we said before, in terms of nice clothing, in terms of eating and drinking, having a meal, acknowledging the reality of the day. That's the Yisod HaMikra Kodesh. Does anyone know if there's a shiur coming in now? Is Rabbi Harwitz giving a shiur? What?
I think so.
Yes, so they haven't come in yet, but I don't know. I'm assuming that we should end. I'll just leave you with this. Vayidaber Moshe's Morde Hashem al Bnei Yisrael, the last selection here. Why does it say this? I mean, it tells in the beginning, Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Why end Vayidaber Moshe's Morde Hashem al Bnei Yisrael? So it mentions earlier by the movement, for example, that Moshe also taught Bnei Yisrael. We mentioned that was for the Beis Din. So the Ramban explains because a person would cover up on his mumin, the Kohen doesn't want to become pasul, so he doesn't show it to anybody, so Beis Din has to be aware of it. But here it was for Bnei Yisrael Kulam Ke'echad, it wasn't just for Bnei Aaron, so why mention Bnei Yisrael? Because again, it's for everybody. And it's again, this is the point of this parasha, not the Karbanos per se, but the Yomim themselves. Then he brings Chazal. Moshe taught Hilchos Chag B'Chag. This is the makor for learning Hilchos Chag B'Chag. But what the Pshan Ramban means is the following: that Moshe Rabbeinu got all these mitzvahs about each of the Chag. And let's say when Hashem communicated from Ol Moed, all of these mitzvahs. When did Moshe convey it? So you could say it could have been a chveis. You know, today is right Beis Iyar. So he decided to give them a shir and Beis Iyar, and he went through, you know, the words of Hashem having to do with Shabbos and Pesach and Sfiras HaOmer. Good, that's appropriate. But then he went on, and he, you know, when we read on, you know, basically went through the cycle of the Moedim. That was the shir for the day. That happened to be the what he was up to. So I think the Pshan Chazal is the following: no, Moshe Rabbeinu held back. When it came that day, that Moed, that's when he said over the Dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu having to do with that Moed. So he said the Psukim, Eilam Moedei Hashem, Pesach, Vachodesh HaRishon, Pasuk Dalet through Pasuk Ches, that was on the first day of Pesach. Then came the day of the Omer. So then he went and gave the next year, on that day, he gave over the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, beginning when that would be Noeg. Came Rosh Hashanah, he gave over the mitzvah of Zikron Teruah. I believe that's what Chazal is saying here. Moshe Rabbeinu was metakin Hilchos Chag B'Chag, he was the first one to do it. When did he convey these mitzvahs, each one at its appropriate time, and that becomes a standard for us to follow as well, of Hilchos Chag B'Chag. And finally, the Ramban just adds that it also includes that he gave over all the secrets and the sodas that had to do with the Tikkuni HaIbur as well, that went into all of these Inyanim as well. Good Shabbos, everybody.